Amen. We are going to take a little break from where we are in Acts this morning. We are very close to finishing the book of Acts, which was written by Luke. You know, the book of Acts talks about the beginnings of what today we call the church, the ecclesia, which is the same, it's actually word used sometimes for synagogue as well, even though that is a separate word. But it's all basically talking about that early messianic fellowship of Jews and Gentiles that worship the Lord together. And so it's been really neat to look through the book of Acts. But this morning, we're taking a small break from that. And I wanted to talk about something that seems kind of elusive, maybe, many times in our life. But as we were going through some scripture verses this week, my wife and I, regarding focusing on God and prayer, this particular passage from Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, that came to mind, and it came up. And as we started to study this, and as I was thinking about what to talk about this weekend, whether I should continue with Acts, the Lord really put this on my heart. This is as much for me as it's hopefully going to be for you. So, you know, when we talk about peace or shalom, as I said earlier, many times it seems pretty elusive in our life. We desire it. We want it. We want to have peace in our hearts and in our minds. But it just seems like our own mind and the way this world is, it keeps interfering with being able to have peace. And so we're going to talk about the source of peace and maybe how you and I can experience some of that perfect peace, which I believe God wants for us. I believe the Lord wants us to have complete or perfect peace. And I know that many times I'll say, well, we can't have that in this world. Well, we can. I believe we can get close to it. I believe we can get to a place. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us to have it. You know, you wouldn't talk about it if it wasn't something that was completely impossible. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started. Father God, I just ask, as we look at this passage this morning in Isaiah of your word, that you will give us understanding by your Ruach HaKodesh, by your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of your word and impress upon our hearts, Lord, what you want to say through this passage and the other passages we're going to be discussing this morning. And Lord, we do thank you for your peace. And Lord, I pray that instead of giving up on having it, that we will seek you for it, because you are the source of true peace, of shalom. And so, Lord, we thank you once again. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace," or perfect shalom, "whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." Trust in the Lord forever. Let's look at some of these words in the Hebrew. The first is to keep or to guard. You will keep him in perfect peace. You will, and the word there in Hebrew is nasar or netzar, and it means to guard or to protect, to maintain, to keep, to observe, to preserve, to watch over. So what he's saying is that the Lord himself will watch over, and you will keep him in perfect peace. He will watch over us with complete peace. Once again, like I said earlier, if this wasn't possible, why would he say it? It is possible. So the issue really is not with what the Lord is saying, because we know he's always right. The issue must be with us then. Why don't we have this perfect peace? And it says that you will keep him in perfect shalom, or perfect peace, whose mind, the word there is yetzer, actually, once again, with the tzadi. And that means conception our frame of mind, thing framed, our imagination, our mind, the work that goes on within our mind, basically. It has a lot of different meanings, but mind is the one that we're really looking at here. But also, I thought that was interesting, our imagination. How many times is it actually our imagination that causes a lack of peace? You ever had that happen? I mean, I've had situations in my life where I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about them, and pretty soon I can't get back to sleep because I'm imagining all sorts of scenarios that might happen. And before you know it, my heart is racing. I'm getting all worried, you know. And as a pastor, many times it's something going on with somebody in the congregation. And maybe they said something to me and they didn't tell me everything. You know, I really hate it. So don't all you, if all of you come up afterwards and say this to me, you know, I'm going to know that you're messing with me. But I really hate it when somebody says, "Pastor, I want to talk to you. I can't tell you what I want to talk to you about right now, but I want to talk to you, Wednesday, or you know, I'll give you your day off, but I want to talk to you on Wednesday or Tuesday or whatever." That drives me crazy. So I can't even rest on my day off now because I'm worried about what this person wants to talk to me about. And I'm thinking, did I offend him in some way? Was there some, you know, all these scenarios that go through your mind. See, that's that's our imagination. Our mind takes things and runs with it. It runs with it all over the place. Places that we don't even need to go. And it says here that he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, imagination, his mind is on the Lord. See, because when my mind is on the Lord, when my focus is on him, when I know that this is good because there's a relationship and an ongoing dialogue going on, and anything that I've done, I know I've confessed it to him, guess what? You can tell me that and I can go to sleep and I don't worry about it because it's not my problem. It's his problem. That's where the Lord wants us to get. He wants us to realize that all of our problems, think of it from this perspective. Who do we belong to? The Lord, right? We've been redeemed as believers, as followers of Yeshua HaMashiach. We've been redeemed by his blood. We've been bought. We've been purchased. We belong to him. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. How often does he tell us in Scripture? Yeshua said it. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you Shabbat. You come to me, I'll give you Shabbat." And yet, what do? We go to other places to get that rest. We try other things to get to that point of peace in our life. And the Lord is saying, I can keep you in perfect peace. See, because once again, like I said, the problems, whatever our problems are, if I give it to the Lord, if I'm surrendered to the Lord, they're not my problems anymore. They're his problem. And can he handle it? Of course he can. See, that's the thing. We don't really do that many times. I've actually heard people with the audacity to say, "Well, God can't handle my problems. He's got enough to worry about in the world." What? Where's your conception of God? He's way beyond. Wait, I mean, he's not worried about anything going on in the world right now. God is not worried about ISIS. He's not. He's not worried about a terrorist attack. He's not worried about who's going to be the next president of the United States of America. He doesn't care. How could you say that? He doesn't care like we care. We're like all worried and all, "Oh, what's going to happen?" He totally understands and knows what's going to happen. He's got a plan that he's working out. He's not worked up about it. What he does care about is us. Are we going to repent? Are we going to turn to him? Are we going to seek him for peace? Because he's there. He's like, "I got it for you. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You can have perfect peace in the Lord." And he wants to give us that. He longs to give us that. You know, I go in and out. There's times that I experience that peace, and then there's times that I'm trying to do things in my own flesh, and I have no peace. And then I realize, oh, wait a second, I'm doing this. I'm trying to do this right now. I go back to the Lord. I give it back to the Lord, and I have peace again. Most of us, that's how we walk with the Lord, in and out. In and out, not in and out burger. I know some of you might be hungry, but no. But in and out, we go in and out of that relationship of peace with the Lord. So yes, sir, or yet, sir, is the imagination. And finally, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. And that word is samak. Samak. It means to lean upon, to take hold of, to bear up, to establish, to hold, to lay, to lean, to rest. Rest ourself on him. You know, we have this tendency to really avoid trying to do this for some reason. We are in this culture in the United States. We like to say, I don't need anybody. I'm a self-made man. I don't need anybody as a crutch. I've heard people say that, well, Yeshua, Jesus is just a crutch. Well, yeah, he is. Absolutely. Actually, he's more than a crutch. He's the whole thing. That's what he wants to be in our life. Not just somebody to lean on, but the one who is carrying us, the one who is taking us forward. I'm not talking about the footprints in the sand. A lot of you like that, you know. And then their footprints disappeared. No, I'm talking every day. Messiah living in us and through us. He's not a crutch. He's everything. Without him, there's no life. He's not like these other things in the world that we try to lean on. They're useless compared to him. You can try all of them and you will find out that they are useless compared to the Lord. All of it. There's somebody in Scripture who tried all of it. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon, Shlomo. He tried everything. He tried everything. And finally, he came back to the conclusion that serving the Lord and following him, giving him glory, that was the whole purpose of man. Why don't we just take that as an example and say, you know what? I know my purpose. I'm going to start doing it now. And stop trying to lean on other things, other people, our own imagination. I am so glad I don't do everything that I come up with in my head to do. I'm so glad I don't. You know, I've come up with whole ways to handle situations. And the Lord's going, no, just trust me. Don't even open your mouth. You'll make a bigger mess. And I have in the past. There's been times I have made a bigger mess because I let my imagination control me instead of the Holy Spirit, instead of the Ruach HaKodesh. And so I get in there and I say something and that person wasn't even thinking anything that I said, anything that I was thinking they were thinking. And all of a sudden there's a big issue now where before there was no problem. You know, most of the time when we think people are upset with us, it's not even about us. It's about their own struggles, their own issues. But we all have ego, don't we? Somebody looks at us weird and we think it's all about us. Maybe they have indigestion. It might have nothing to do with us. Now, if Dell looks at me weird, that's different, you know. He's just picking on me. But I enjoy that. That's good. I look back at him weird, you know. You got to have those people, too, that you can mess with. I think the Lord messes with us sometimes, too. He created a sense of humor, right? Sense of humor did not come from the devil. The Lord created it. And there's times when I know I have been so worked up about something, and I've literally heard the Lord say, chill out.
It's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal to you. It's not to me. What are you worried about? I mean, understand that the Lord can handle all of our problems like that. He can make them all go away if he wanted to. And a lot of us, well, why doesn't he? Because we do the same thing that my children do when they get what they want sometimes. Not anymore. They don't do this anymore. But sometimes. They used to. Dad, can I have this? Can I have this? And I'd be like, no. Maybe. You know, don't you love that answer? Maybe. Maybe actually means no. Come back later. Not right now. There's a lot of answers. But I knew sometimes that if I were to say yes, and I wanted them around, I wanted them to hang out with me. But if I said yes to what they wanted to do, they were gone. They were gone. Not that they didn't love me. Of course they loved me. But they got what they wanted, and they moved on. And we do that with the Lord so often. We come to him with our issues and our problems, but we don't come to him many times just to be in his presence. He hungers for that kind of relationship with you and me. Just sit here for a while. Do you really need to go off and do that or do this? Just spend time with me. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Hang out. Don't come to me just because you have a problem. Come to me when you have a problem. Yeah, sure. But that shouldn't be the only time. But it becomes the only time sometimes that we come to the Lord is when we have some issue going on. Going on with the words, shalom. You will keep him in perfect shalom. Now, let me say something about this. There's no word here in the Hebrew used here. There is a word in the Hebrew for perfect, but it's not being used here. What it's actually saying is, shalom, shalom. You will keep him in shalom, shalom. There's an emphasis here on the peace. In Hebrew, when it says the word twice, it's saying, this is really peace. There's peace, peace. It's more than just one. It's perfect. It's complete. Complete peace. Shalom, shalom, or perfect shalom. The double shalom denotes emphasis, and it makes the shalom complete. Complete. Now, it's important that we understand many times when it says perfect in Scripture, it's not saying perfect like we think perfect. Now, there is that too. You know, Yeshua is perfect. What do we mean by that? He never once sinned. He never broke the Torah in any way. Not only, and this is an aspect that when we think of Yeshua, we many times think of how he never broke God's law. But not only did he never break God's law, I mean, for one thing, he had written it, so of course he's not going to break his own law, his Torah. But not only did he not break it, but he perfectly did the will of his Father. He perfectly did everything his Father told him to do. This is important that we understand. It's not enough to just not break Torah. What God is calling us to do, not just to be obedient, but to also do those good things that he has called us to do, those things that are his will. That's what makes Yeshua so unique. Well, aside from none of us could actually keep God's law perfectly, but aside from that, he also always, always did the will of his Father. And so his Father was completely pleased. It says, remember what the voice says on the Mount of Transfiguration. I have no clue what to call that in Hebrew. But anyways, on the mountain, remember what the voice said about Yeshua. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is not just a New Testament concept. It talks about in Scripture, in Isaiah and other passages, about the servant of the Lord in whom he is well pleased. Isaiah 51 being one of those. That God is pleased with the full work of Yeshua. But here, this perfect means complete. He will keep him in complete peace. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. We're not perfect until we're changed into that new glorified body that we're going to have one of these days. And I know a lot of you are like, praise the Lord. Get me out of this one as soon as possible. One of these days, we will have that perfection because we will be like him. When we see him, we will be like him. You can't be any more perfect than Yeshua. But right now, there's a completeness that the Lord wants to do in our life. In spite of this body, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our struggles, you and I can have complete peace. How? Well, as we talked about, whose mind is stayed on him. So it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. That word for trust is to be confident or sure, to be bold, careless. I know we don't like that term, right? We can't be careless. Why not? Well, because in our terminology, that means you don't care and you just do whatever. But that's not what we're talking about here. You and I can care less because he does care. So we can be reckless in our faith in him. We can take those leaps of faith that we need to take because we're trusting him. In that sense, we're trusting. When it says trust, there's action involved in trust. This is a very important aspect. Trust is not just in our brain. It's not just in our mind. I can sit all day and say, I trust this podium to hold me up when I lean on it. Okay? But if I never lean on it, I didn't really have faith that it could hold me up. If you and I can say all day that we trust the Lord, I trust you, Lord, I trust you, I trust you, but then we go out and we do our own thing, just the way we've always done it, and we're not trusting him. That act of faith, true trust, has action involved. If we trust him, we will obey him. If we trust him, we will do those things he tells us to do. If we trust him, we will take those quote risks that aren't really risks because we're trusting him. You know, a real quick story on that. I think it kind of touches on a lot of these aspects. I've told this before, but there was one time when I was kind of in a rush going home. My wife had asked for some things and from the grocery store. And so I was trying to buy those and get home as quickly as possible, pull into the grocery store. As I pulled in, I couldn't help but notice that there was a lady over on the side on the phone with a little child about 3 years old. I didn't know how old he was at the time. And she was crying. She was obviously distressed. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to go talk to that lady. I'm like, all the excuses I can possibly come up with, because I'm thinking how uncomfortable she's going to feel that I'm going to go talk to her. You know, it's not a comfortable situation here. And so I heard the Lord say, I want you to go talk to that lady. Well, I didn't go do it right away. What I did was I kind of came up with my excuses. So I kind of heard the Lord say, if she's still there when you come out of the grocery store, I want you to talk to her. So I'm like, okay, good. I went into the grocery store. I took the longest time ever. I hardly ever take a long time in the grocery store, you know. But I'm looking at this and looking at that and, taking a long time to find everything, you know, intentionally. I'm just telling you how I felt about that. I was scared to go talk to this crying lady with the baby. It was very uncomfortable. And I kept looking out the window to see if she'd left already. And finally, I couldn't justify it anymore, and I went and I paid for it, and I walked out, got in the car, went to turn the key, and the Lord said, what did I tell you to do? Okay. So I found one of my cards, because I'm like, okay, at least she'll know I'm a pastor, you know. And I go over to her, and I get about this far from her. Her son jumps out of her arms into my arms. I mean, he leaped. And I had to catch him. And so I'm holding her kid now. I have her attention. And I just said, you know what? I could see that you are really having a bad day. And the Lord told me to come over and talk to you. I'm a pastor. Is there anything I can pray with you about? Well, I'm not sure exactly if I said those words, but whatever I said, and it was different than what I normally say. She just starts weeping even more. And I'm just like, okay. You know. And she's like, you just said the exact same thing my grandma used to say to me. With the exact same wording. I'm like, okay. You know. And then she was totally open. And her husband had been abusing her. He had kicked her out of the house. She was looking for a place to live. She had found a place. So that was all worked out. But she was just completely broken at that point. And needed to know that the Lord loved her. And that was more important than my pride, my uncomfortableness, any of those things. The Lord says, just be quiet. Go talk to her. And see the way he works it out. I get over there and her son leaps into my arms. You know, if we just trust him, even in those areas where we are uncomfortable, it's not a risk. It's not a risk to trust the Lord. It is a risk not to trust him. That's the risk. Over and over again, I could tell story after story of experiences of being encouraged to do things that I'm like, Lord, really? Is this from you? And yeah, I was. But when I did it, I found out that I could trust him every time. And the more we do it, see, that's the thing. We have to practice trust, don't we? You have to practice trust with everybody. In any relationship, you have to practice trust. Otherwise, it never grows. It's not just about saying you trust that person. It's about showing them that you trust them. It's not just about saying we trust the Lord. It's about showing him that we trust him. But if we do that, if our mind is focused on him, he promises us complete peace. When we focus on the Lord, our mind is stayed on him. We are not moved by the circumstances around us. We are instead moved by his Ruach HaKodesh, by his Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Think about that for a second. When we're stayed on him, we're moved by him, not by the circumstances. In fact, what happens is you begin to move the circumstances because he's moving through you. You actually end up changing those circumstances around you because that's what God is doing through us. That's what he wants to do. So instead of being moved by the circumstances all over the place, you become, through him, that agent of changing those circumstances. He's not moved. He moves us. We are kept or sheltered in his shalom, which is perfect. There is nothing wrong, no lack of shalom in the Lord. If you're in his peace, you have perfect peace. Any lack of peace that we have comes from a lack of trust or a lack of desire to be fully surrendered to him. Now, why do I say those two things? A lack of trust can come from many reasons. Okay, all of us have been hurt in our past at some point. We've all been hurt. There's stuff that has happened to us, whether it be other people or circumstances in our life that have broken us. And that is hard. And so many times we come from that place when it comes to trusting the Lord. And it makes it very difficult for us to trust the Lord sometimes. Because The reality is he has allowed certain things in our life that we don't understand. And we may still be angry over those things. But the Lord understands that. That's why he doesn't push this on us. I thank the Lord for that. He is so gentle and compassionate and merciful and patient with us. Way more than we are with each other. You know, there's times that I look at somebody and go, why can't they get their act together? What's wrong with them? Can't they just understand? And then I have to look at myself. What about me? Why can't I get my act together? Maybe I understand it in that area, but I don't understand it in this other area over here. You know, we always have to look first at our own heart before we judge other people. We don't know what happened to them. We don't know their struggles with trust. We don't even know our own most of the time. There's things that are buried deep down in me that the Lord knows all about and that he's going to continue to work in my life to deal with that I don't even realize yet. And I thank God for it. I can't handle it right now. And that's true for you too. There may be things that you know how we say to the Lord, Lord, I give you everything. I surrender all. The Lord's like, yeah, right. You can't do that. You can try. You can say it. You can try to impress other people that you've done it. But the reality is the Lord's saying, okay, why don't you, if you surrender all to me, then give me that. What? What, Lord? Not that. I surrender everything else. But that. I'm not ready to give that up yet. There you go. How do we surrender all to the Lord? Whatever he's asking for, we give it to him. That's how we surrender all. And that's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It happens as he's asking us to do it because he knows what we can handle. And the reality, if tomorrow God took everything that I was surrendering to him or saying I was surrendering to him, I'd be devastated. I'd be a basket case. He knows what I can handle. So he says, okay, I'll take that. And my job is to go, here you go, Lord. I trust you. I trust you there. I trust you there. You've never let me down in the past. See, that's the problem sometimes. Sometimes we think he has. But he wants us to give that to him as well. Lord, I'm angry. Tell him. He already knows. You know, I lost a job one time and I was so angry. And I ended up having to have this job. You know, here I went from a cushy computer job, you know, air conditioned, all this, you know, can't even tell you how much I made an hour. It was great, okay? Great home in the suburbs. Got everything worked out. I could give. I could tithe to the Lord. And, you know, we can go on vacation anytime we wanted. This is great. Big enough for my family. All of a sudden, I lose the job. Bunch of people were losing their jobs, but I was one of them. I ended up working at an airport, pushing expansion joints into a runway in October in Colorado. Freezing all night long. Nobody on the shift, and don't get me wrong here, this isn't a thing, but I'm just saying nobody on the shift could hardly speak English. Didn't even have anybody to talk to, except the Lord. Oh, boy, did we have conversations. And I'd be driving home, and I'd be telling the Lord exactly how I felt. All these horrible things he did to me. It had to be entertaining for him. But in the middle of all of that, he interrupted my anger, angst, whatever you want to call it. I had to go to a Bible bookstore to pick up something for my wife, and I didn't want to do that either. And I go walking into this bookstore, and all of a sudden I look over at the desk, and there's my ex-Muslim friend. I didn't know he was an ex-Muslim at the time. My Muslim friend that I hadn't seen for probably about 5 or 6 years, working at a Bible bookstore. And I'm turning and I'm like, Abdul? And he's like, Sam? He's like, Sam, you know? And I'm like, why are you here at a Lifeway? You're Muslim. And he's like, let me tell you what's happened. Well, first of all, he looked at me. He says, what's wrong? What's going on? So I said, I lost my job. I'm done. He's like, well, let me tell you my story. I accepted Yeshua, accepted Jesus. I've been rejected by my father. There's been a fatwa out to have me killed. Anybody who sees me kills me. And he told me what was going on in his life. And I'm like, oh, losing a job, that's nothing to what you've been through. I mean, at the same time, the Lord encouraged me by bringing back a friend, because he was a friend. He was seeking even back then. Not only did he bring back a friend, but now this friend is a believer who can encourage me. At the same time he encouraged me, he gave me a little whack too. He says, stop complaining. I have a plan. I'm working this plan in your life. And my plan is perfect. Here's the problem. We see this way. He sees the whole picture. He can see way out ahead. His plan is always perfect. You and I can trust him. He loves us. When we focus on the Lord, our mind is stayed on him. We are not moved by circumstances around us. We are moved by his spirit. We are kept and sheltered in his shalom, which is perfect. And we can remain in that shalom as long as we are trusting the Lord. Isaiah 48:22. At the bottom it says, there is no shalom, says the Lord, for the wicked. Here's another issue many times why we don't have peace. When our mind and heart is on our own desires or the desires of the flesh, we lack peace. We lack peace. When it's on our own desires or what we want, when we put that before the Lord, that's the important part. It's not that everything we want is always bad and we can never have a desire or anything like that. That's not true. But when we put that before the Lord, when we desire those things more than we desire him, that's wicked. Why? Because we're setting something up above him. What does he say? No other gods before me. This is not just talking graven images that we shouldn't worship. Of course we shouldn't worship them. But it's also talking those gods that you and I come up with, and the biggest one is right here, me. I worship myself. And if you're honest, you worship yourself many times. Why do I say that? Because we put ourselves above him. What I want is more important many times than what he wants in my mind. When our mind and heart is on our own desires or the desires of the flesh, that's another reason we lack shalom. We cannot be trusting him, or we can be sinning. And you're not going to have peace no matter what. You and I cannot have peace and continue sinning. I've tried it before. Doesn't work. I've been a hypocrite a lot of the time in my life as a believer. And those of you that have been a believer for a while, so have you. Pastor Sam, how can you call me a hypocrite? No. Because I know me. And I know my struggles. And what do I mean by being a hypocrite? We are hypocrites as believers. We are hypocrites anytime we're not walking in the Spirit. Because our new nature, our true nature in Mashiach, in Messiah, our true nature is to walk in the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. He has given us a new nature. And anytime I'm walking in that old nature, that flesh, I'm a hypocrite. Because I'm not being who I really am. That's a whole new definition of hypocrite, isn't it? And I believe it's the right one. And it's why we struggle so much. You and I have a new nature as believers. You can't call somebody who never knew the Lord a hypocrite I mean, you can say, well, they're not saying what they, you know, so that way they're a hypocrite. But no, if they don't know the Lord, they still have that old nature. They're not a hypocrite living the way that that old nature lives. We're the ones that are hypocrites when we got this new nature and we're not living it. And we can live it, though. We have the power to live it. But it takes our surrender to Him. It takes our trusting and surrendering and letting Him do what He wants. Giving Him anything He wants when He wants it. Saying, Lord, my time, my money, my skills, my job, my family, my church, my car. I don't have a boat, but if you have a boat, have an RV, it all belongs to the Lord. We need to recognize all the stuff He has blessed us with. It's all His. You and I belong to Him. So guess what? He can take anything He wants at any time. This is what Job understood. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was that heart attitude of Job that caused God to restore everything He had taken from him. He restored 100-fold. That's amazing. But that's also what we're promised by the Lord. Remember what Yeshua says, no one has left father or mother or wife or family or whatever. And it doesn't mean we should go off and leave our family. That's not what He's saying here. But no one has given those things up for me in this life that He will not be restored 100-fold in this life and in the world to come. That's what He said. Do we trust Him? We should. We should. But that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Oh, Lord, if I give that up, what's going to happen? There is no shalom, says the Lord, for the wicked. But if we look at Isaiah 53, 5 through 6, it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace, our shalom, was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Now, I've always found this particular phrase, the chastisement of our shalom was upon Him, to be interesting. The chastisement, what is that saying? Because of our sin and disobedience, we lost peace, joy, and contentment of God's presence. Because of our sin and our disobedience, starting with Adam, we lost the shalom, the joy, and the contentment of God's presence. That's what was lost at the garden. That's what really, that was the big loss. It wasn't eternal life, whether we live forever or not. It was losing that closeness to God. Because He is eternal life. But we lost our joy, our shalom, and our contentment. To restore these things, our Messiah took our punishment or our chastisement upon Himself. He did that to restore peace, shalom, with God. He took our punishment. What we had lost, the reason we had lost peace, He took that upon Himself. When by faith we trust in His Messiah's finished work accomplished on the cross or the tree, we exchange our chaos for His shalom, our sadness for His joy, and our dissatisfaction for His contentment. That's what we should be doing. That's what should happen. It doesn't happen necessarily like that. Oh, you might feel that when you first come to know the Lord. You might feel a sense of his presence, and it's better than anything you've ever felt before in your life. That wasn't ever meant to go away, though. We should be like that all the time. But the Lord knows. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a marriage. You got the honeymoon period, right? And you're euphoric, and you're like, oh, I have one right now. She's not here today, but I have one right now that they haven't gotten married yet. But, you know, her boyfriend couldn't do anything wrong. At this point, she's in love. You know, we need to be that way about the Lord. And we do. We are at first, aren't we? He couldn't do anything wrong. And then after a while, something happens. Something changes. Well, I look at it this way. When my wife and I got married, I went through that part of euphoria. I was euphoric. Several year or so after we got married, the real process of loving each other started. It had already started maybe before that, but the real process of loving each other started. What does that mean? You start to see the things that aren't always so great. You start to see personalities and behaviors and attitudes that you're like, oh, well, I didn't remember she had that when we were dating. It's more, I don't really notice it that much. She notices it with me more. She starts seeing things in me. But I had my own issues with certain attitudes and things as well. But what is that? Well, now there's a test of commitment that starts to happen. See, and here's the thing. The Lord never makes a mistake, okay? So we can't look at him and go, oh, I thought the Lord was this, but now I'm seeing his warts. He has no warts. We're the ones that have the warts. So it's a different type of relationship when it comes to the Lord. However, you get into a relationship just like any relationship, you come in with expectations. And if our expectations are not according to his word regarding God, we can come into a relationship with God and have wrong expectations as to what is going to happen in this relationship. And after a while, after you've been with the Lord a little bit and everything isn't completely perfect, if you had the expectation that from now on he was going to solve all your problems like that, answer all your requests like that, that there would never be an issue anymore, you'd never have a problem with anybody, any issue you had, any struggle of sin that you had would just go away like that, it's a wrong expectation. He works in our heart. He works in our heart in such a way that we have to trust him. We have to learn to love him. I don't know why he chooses to do it like that. Other than this process of us giving up everything to follow him brings him pleasure and brings him joy and brings him glory. It's the only thing I can imagine in this. Because God could, yes, he could go, boom, everybody's okay. He could do that. Of course he can. He's God. And there's things in my life that he has done that with. She's not, oh, she is in the room. Tirzah. Tirzah was healed like that. God just healed her. Some of you were there. Some of you were praying in the emergency room when God healed her. Completely. From a disease that there was no cure. I can't explain that. I am so grateful. But I can't explain it. There wasn't anything that I did or her mother did or anybody did that was good or even Tirza did that made her worthy of that kind of healing. Other than God said, I'm going to do it. There was definitely faith. I remember Tirza going, Yeshua is going to heal me. Jesus is going to heal me. Don't worry. There was faith. But aside from that, we're not more worthy than anybody else. So there's times when God does those types of things. But then there's other times where you pray and 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 you still get a no. Or you get a maybe, or not a maybe, but a wait. Wait on me. Keep praying. And that's hard. That's hard for us. And yet, this is a process. It's a relationship. In every relationship, there needs to be trust. There needs to be surrender or compromise, even in the relationships between a man and a woman. In a marriage, there has to be compromise. Otherwise, you guys can't live together. Some people might be, you know, just a yes person, but usually there has to be compromise to make that relationship work. With the Lord, there has to be surrender to Him because He's perfect. And yet, as perfect as He is, He's so loving and He's so gentle. You know, for us as men who are married, it says in God's Word, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's the kind of love we're supposed to have for our spouses, that we put them before ourselves. I'm not there. That's something I have to work on all the time because I'm selfish, and not just because I'm an only child, kind of. I have an older brother, but he was out of the house by 17, and I grew up very selfish. The Lord's given us 6 children. That's helped with that. Used to drive me nuts because Heather would feed all the kids before she fed me. Now it drives me crazy because she gives me my food first sometimes, and it's cold by the time all the kids get theirs. Yeah, I'm never happy, am I? Doesn't matter. See, that's me being selfish. And those are the things we have to give to the Lord. We have to realize when we are selfish, that's not from Him. He's not selfish. He's sharing His glory with us. Isn't that awesome? Yeshua wants to share His glory. It says, I know in Scripture, He shares His glory with no one except those that have Him living inside of them. Because Yeshua actually said, and Paul says, that's part of our inheritance, to be joint heirs with Messiah. My goodness. It's not my glory, it's His glory that He wants me to be a part of. It's pretty awesome. The chastisement of our shalom was upon Him. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I love this part. Trust in the Lord and do good. We are called to trust Him in His word and then do it. Obey what He tells us to do. That's the point. It's not just about trusting in our mind, it's about doing it, doing what He's called us to do. But then, I love this passage, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. We are called to be actively engaged in life. We're not called to just go off as a hermit in the trees somewhere and not associate with anybody. I mean, maybe some people may be called for a time to do that, but we are called to be actively engaged in life. To dwell in the land. You know, there's things that God has put on my heart for the future, for my wife and I. And we were talking this week how many times, sometimes we get our focus off of Him and we get our focus off of what He wants us to do right here. And we focus on those things in the future. And I hear this in a lot of believing circles. I hear this attitude of God is doing a new thing. Just wait till God does this or wait till God does that. How long have we heard this? If you've been a believer for a long time, you've heard it over and over again. I've been a believer for almost 30 years. So for 30-something years, I've heard God is doing a new thing. He's going to do something good. When? Here's the problem. If we're constantly looking out there for the new thing, the good thing God's going to do, we forget that he's already doing stuff right here. He's doing it now. Dwell in the land. Don't dwell out there and what he might do upcoming in the future. Don't be so obsessed with end-time prophecy that you can't do what God is telling you to do right here and right now. That's the problem today in the church. Oh my goodness, we had 4 blood moons back in September. Can you imagine the hysteria? I mean, it was crazy. I had every day I had people coming in talking to me about the blood moons. I had people saying that if Heather and I went to Israel in September, we were going to die because of the blood moons. We get our focus on these things that are not the Lord. If the Lord wants to tell us something with blood moons, then let's focus on him so we know what he wants to tell us. Not the blood moons. Just using that as an example because everybody remembers that one, right? How could we forget? We need to be focused on him and what he's doing in your life and mine. Because what if he has our neighbor that he wants us to minister to? Instead of being so caught up in end-time prophecy. I'm not saying we can't study those things. Yes, study it. But keep it in perspective. Don't let it take over everything. We have to do what he's calling us to do right here and right now. And he's got a good plan today for your life and mine. Yes, he has a good plan out there. Be ready. Be prepared. I've been studying it for 30-something years. Been to all of the Revelation things. I could tell you 50 different theories of it, probably. But you know what? Most of those people have had to rewrite their books by now. Because history has completely changed. This book doesn't have to be rewritten. It is perfect just as God has put it out there. If we are in him, if we are listening to his Holy Spirit, you're not going to miss whatever is coming. If you are listening to him. And you know what? If he told us everything that was coming way out in advance, we'd all go crazy. We'd be scared to death. If we really knew it, everything. If I knew the end of my life, it's the same way. If I knew the end of my life, what would I do? Well, I would either go out and party because I knew I had another 40, 50 years. Or I'd go out and become really, really extra religious because I only have 5 years. I don't know. We don't know. That's why we have to trust him today. Do what he's calling you to do today. Trust the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And this is it. Feeding off the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. He will keep his promises. You and I can trust him. We can trust him with everything. Almost done. Psalms 37, 6 through 8 says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday as we trust in him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not worry, fret. It only causes harm. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the shalom of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. Be anxious for nothing actually means nothing. Oh, Pastor Sam, but you don't know what I'm having to deal with. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And let me just say this. I'm just going to put this out there. And this isn't directed towards anybody in particular. I'm happy to pray with anybody. But my prayer is not more powerful than Dell's, than Mike's, than Jackie's, than even one of my children. It's all about faith and trusting the Lord. I'd be happy to pray with you. But guess what? Trust. Be anxious for nothing. We need to get to that place where, yes, there's times I really need somebody else to pray for me. And we're told to pray for each other. We're told to come alongside each other, encourage each other. God made it so we need that. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. But there's a lot of things that if we just stopped being anxious and started trusting the Lord, would not be an issue. I can't tell you how many times I've taken stuff to the Lord, giving it to Him, and by the end of the prayer, actually I started out just focusing on Him, worshiping Him. By the end of the prayer, I forgot what I was even going to say to Him. I forgot whatever that really important thing was, because guess what? It's not important anymore. I had peace. And that was the whole point anyways, is having peace. Be anxious for nothing means nothing. Prayer and supplication. All of our struggles and worries, temptations, etc., we are told to bring to the Lord. With thanksgiving, make sure we recognize the answers to prayer and thank Him when He has answered those prayers. And then finally, let your requests be made known unto God. The Lord wants us to communicate our needs to Him. He wants us to talk to Him. And then it says, and the shalom of God, the peace of God. God is always at peace. He's always at shalom. He is never disturbed or surprised by anything. Do you realize that? God is never disturbed or surprised by anything, which surpasses all understanding. So having God's shalom in this world doesn't make sense, but that is what He offers. He offers His peace, even in the world that you and I live in today. And it says it will guard your hearts and minds. It's the same word when it talks about He will guard those who have their minds stayed on Him. God's shalom is a shield to our heart and protection for our mind. But this is only found in Messiah Yeshua. Only those that have a relationship with Yeshua, with God through the work of Yeshua, can have this kind of shalom. It's the only way it's found. Because it's from His Ruach HaKodesh. It's from His Holy Spirit living within us. Father, we thank You this morning for Your peace, Your shalom. And Lord, in this area of trust, in this area of having that perfect peace, Lord, I know I struggle, and I'm sure everyone in this room struggles in this area of peace. Father, I pray today that You will speak to our minds and to our hearts, even in our imaginations, Lord, that we will not allow our imagination to control us, but that we will be controlled by Your thinking, by Your word, by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we can truly not just lean on You, but have our minds fully focused and stayed on You, so that we accomplish Your will. Not only do we obey You, not only do we not break Your law, but we accomplish those good things that You have for us. Lord, that is our desire today, but we cannot do it without Your peace, without Your shalom. We cannot do it without the working of Your Holy Spirit. So this morning, I ask that for each one of us, that You will work in our hearts in those areas that You want to work, and that we will be surrendered to You and let You do what You want to do this week. Cleanse us. Thank You for working through us in spite of our lack of peace, that You still use us. You still work through us. You still accomplish Your will because You are God. And yet, Lord, we want to have that joy. We want to have that peace as You are doing these things in our life. A peace that passes all understanding. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Blessing over the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Ha-motzi lechem min ha-aretz, Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.